about.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I always knew them french fries was evil, man. Smelling all good and I don't trust no food that smells that good, man. I don't trust it. I just can't because I'm a McDonald's man. Damn.
I can't believe the show ever made it on the air. It has all the ingredients of failure.
To an out-of-this-world phenomenon. I hate this word. Phenomenon.
I want to do it because it's fun. I want to do bad things, but I want to do good stuff for my friends.
You know how it is. You know what they say, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, women can't live with them. Go Raiders.
And now.
So, 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So, just bear with me while I try to fill time.
Our feature presentation.
What?
He's a goddamn national treasure beer mug, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I guess I'm glad that we appreciate him now while he's still alive. I'm glad he's not going to be one of those, you know, Nick Drake type artists that people kind of ignore when he's alive and creating. And then after his death, people go, wow, we should have paid more attention to that dude. He had it going on.
You just compared beer mug to Nick Drake.
Right. Because Muggs is getting his due while he's alive and still can appreciate it. And I just think that's nice. I think that's good of the world to wake up and realize what a gem he is. That's all. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time, it's for a Tuesday, the 23rd of August. How's everybody?
Doing good. Good.
Why is nobody sleeping? You guys are both complaining about no sleep. What's up?
I don't know.
It sucks.
I feel like the weather changed, so now it's not as hot, so then you don't use the air, but you're used to the air. It's just, it's so many changes, Bean. So many changes.
I can't sign off on that theory, but I just know I can't sleep and it sucks.
Do you have, usually I think for many people, they can't sleep because their minds get too busy. They can't turn their brains off at night. Now, Chip, that wouldn't be a problem with you.
Nah, that'd be crazy.
I've met you, but Allie, what's concerning you right now? You usually have a lot to worry about.
Obviously, I'm solving the problems of the world till midnight or 1 a.m. nightly. Mm-hmm. I'm very busy.
You coming up with any solutions?
Not yet. Not okay, one.
Just working on it.
Just really kind of letting things flow through me.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Well, it's no good. It doesn't feel good to not sleep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good.
Thanks for mentioning that guy that sleeps.
Like a baby.
Yeah.
Hey, we've never done a phone topic on this, and maybe it's because it's so rare that we wouldn't get enough callers, but have you guys ever known anyone who's had this pica, this desire to eat crazy things?
My mom did when she was pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's fairly common for people to have odd urges when they're pregnant, right?
Raw meat.
Oh.
Yeah, she wasn't like, give me those pickles. She was like, give me that raw meat.
And that's how people, she got pregnant.
Wow. That's disturbing.
Sorry to make you think you're dead that way. But
it's not good. But apparently it's the same thing of people that like to eat dirt. It's that same, like, I don't know if it's an iron deficiency or what it is.
Well, this is what I'm wondering about because, from time to time we have featured that My Strange Addiction show. And that's where people eat, you know, sand or they eat hair, or they eat tires.
Cotton balls.
Right, exactly. So is it your body screaming out for something it's not getting or is it mental? Is it your mind telling you, hey, you need to eat that?
Maybe it's both.
Yeah. Why not both, Bean?
Well, it's in the news right now. I'm sure you guys saw this story yesterday about the man in India who went to the doctor and complained of a stomachache. And my understanding, I've read several different articles about this dude. My understanding is he didn't go in and say, hey, I've been eating knives. He just went in and said, I have a loss of appetite and my stomach hurts. And they did an X-ray on him and saw that his stomach was full of metal. So about 2 months ago, he developed pica. And again, I have more questions about this than I have answers, but it's not a thing that you grow up with. It's a thing that you can develop at any time in your life. I mean, this guy was, you know, an adult. And just out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he develops this urge to eat metal?
I didn't know it was called pica. I thought that was like a little animal, like a weasel.
I think it's a Pokemon, actually. I think Pika is a Pokemon, but it's also the name of the people who have to eat crazy things.
Okay. So, I mean, they need a different word because we're all thinking things.
So the doctor in New Delhi says the patient had a wild urge to consume metal. The operation, even for us, the experienced surgeons, was frightening. We were so nervous a small mistake could have taken the patient's life. In my 20 years of practice, I've never seen anything like it. The surgical team took 2 days to form a diagnosis and a surgery plan. It was a five-hour operation that took place last Friday, and they found 40 knives in his stomach. Foldable knives, when fully extended, they were about 7 inches long. He had swallowed some of the knives folded, some unfolded. When we took out the knives, how is a great question. A 7-inch piece of metal, how would you? Some of the knives were even rusted and broken. The man is 42, by the way. He's a father of two. He says, I'm sorry I let my family down. I'll be forever thankful to doctors and hospital staff for saving my life. The patient is now out of danger. He'll be discharged in a couple of days, but he still has to be cleared by psychiatrists. He says that he's not going to eat knives anymore. But he had to know every time he swallowed another knife, hey, this is a bad decision. Like, what's going to stop him from going back and eating knives again?
And are they tasty?
They can't be. There's no way. Man told the doctors he could not explain his urge to swallow knives. He told us he would swallow them along with a glass of water. He had no explanation for why he did it. It was just an urge.
Then an urge sounds mental. It doesn't sound like he's thinking he's getting some sort of nutritional value.
Right, because let's face it, there are other ways. If it's iron your body needs, you take a vitamin, right?
Sure.
Since the surgery, the man has told doctors he can't bear to look at another knife. He has even asked his wife to get out of the room when she is cutting fruit for him. So he is serious about
cold turkey.
Let's not put it on other people, dude. This is on you. Let her cut a freaking apple.
Yeah, he says, I will never do such acts again. I'm a new person now. If the urge does strike, his doctor has given some advice. If you ever feel like you need more iron in your body, try spinach. So I don't know if, again, you develop it at 42 years old and then 2 months later it's gone. It just it doesn't sound like any mental illness I know either. So I'm really very confused by this story. But don't eat knives, kids. That's what we're telling you here today.
Right.
Don't eat knives.
No. That's great advice, especially on a Tuesday.
You know. I think so, too.
Yeah. Good job.
All right. Let's take a look at today's all-new program, shall we?
I'm tired and not in the mood. Go away now.
Well, we're just actually getting underway here, I'm sorry to say. We do have more tickets for you for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Give you a chance to earn those in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. Empire of the Sun is stopping by. What's the name of that song we play every 20 minutes, Chip?
Walking on a Dream?
That's it. That's the band. They are back with a brand new album called Two Vines and a brand new single will be premiering for you called High and Low with the members of the band themselves. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour. It's Tuesday. That means the Bachelor in Paradise report. Bachelor in Paradise was on ABC again last night. Ralph and Petros will break it down for us. The worst thing you ever found out about a friend, family member, or loved one.
Oof.
That could potentially be ugly.
Yeah. I can't wait.
This is when you're watching the news and you see a guy who did a horrible thing and you go, oh, man, I used to go to high school with that dude, or he lived next door to me, or I
used to buy ice cream from him.
I used to buy ice cream from him. It's a very realistic example, as a matter of fact. So we'll talk about that. We got a Trump date on the program today. It's been a long time since we caught up with the next president of the United States. And let me see. Anything else?
Yeah, you breathe a lot into the microphone.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
I enjoy air.
Yeah, you do.
You know that.
And somebody has taken that to a whole new level just to point out how much you love air.
Remix! That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. That's next on K-Rock. Beyonce singing with Coldplay there on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ for a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boy.
What's going on?
Stuff.
How about you? How are you sleeping these days?
Oh, like a dead body.
All right.
A dead hooker.
Why has it got to be a hooker?
You know. Because it's kind of hot.
It's kind of hot?
A dead hooker.
It's kind of hot.
Because you don't have to
she
pay?
She was alive at one point.
Wow.
Right? That's hot.
It got very dark in here.
Yeah, real quick.
Oh, racist. Just because I'm black, all of a sudden the room has to get very dark?
That's why.
Okay. All right.
Hey, disgust me.
What's going on?
Amy Robach? You're Amy Robach. That's what you are.
Oh, wow. That was something.
Right?
Wow.
Poor Amy Robach.
Sweet spirit.
She was talking about Zendaya being cast as Mary Jane Watson in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming flick. For those who don't know, Amy Robach is on Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. Just a perky, very white, blonde girl just trying to make her way in the world. And she was talking about Hollywood casting choices, and sometimes traditionally white roles have been going to people who aren't traditionally white. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, sometimes they cast colored people.
She said people of color.
No, no.
Yeah.
No. She said colored people.
Like my Nana would say?
Right. Now, she meant people of color.
Sure.
But while speaking extemporaneously, it came out, you know, sometimes they cast colored people.
Oh.
Well, as you can imagine, the skies opened up and the earth shattered and time went backwards and the sun got blotted out in the sky.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and so now she is being deluged with hate and death threats. And
just from a language, from a language perspective, colored people and people of color mean identical things.
Listen,
it sounds racist.
Listen,
but from a historical perspective, I guess that's what we're
listen,
going
with. Daylight savings, boy. For somebody who's anal retentive about a letter, you can't start saying colored people and people of color are the same thing.
They mean the same thing.
They really don't.
They do. In terms of language, they mean the same thing. I understand the criticism is because colored people was a term 50 years ago, and it's not today.
Apparently it is still today, because she just said it and people got angry.
Well,
so
she said it. It was a mistake. She said it by accident.
You're such
a
racist. I'm so tired of your racism. It's
that
endless.
Seems racist, only because it is.
Beans, endless racism, people. You have no idea what it's like to work with him. Behind the scenes, is a never-ending onslaught.
People
of
are
insensitive
gonna,
racial comments.
People will believe that if you say that,
it
Ralph.
It never
not true.
Stops coming. Look, it's a fountain of racism.
I get
Bean was in a band once called Fountain of Racism. That's how racist he is. Yes.
I get that
people get upset and people are allowed to get upset. But does anyone believe, as a result of this misspeaking, that Amy Robach is racist? Does anyone believe that? Or was it just a simple linguistic mistake?
Could have been a very simple linguistic mistake. Or it could be what she says in normal conversations when she's not on the air.
When she's addressing the people she owns. Is that what you mean?
That's what I'm
saying.
Just
habitual. When she's at the KKK rally, it's always colored people coming out of her mouth.
There's no reason to believe that.
Oh, oops, I slipped. I spoke with my real language instead of the sanitized TV language I usually use.
All right, so you're going to believe the best of her.
White people.
Ugh, white people are the worst, right, Allie?
Yep.
Ugh. That's why it's so hard to work with racist Bean. Oh, so racist. Speaking of white people, Jim Gaffigan's show is being canceled.
Really white.
No one's whiter than Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, no.
Sunday night season 2 finale was the last show. I know you're a big Jim Gaffigan fan.
I love him.
I am as well. The show is leaving, not so much because of TV Land, the network that was carrying it, canceling the show, but he said in an online post that he simply can't keep up with the time demands of the show anymore because his wife, you see, is the co-creator and co-writer on the show and also the showrunner. So he said the time commitment to make the quality of show we wanted was taking us away from our most important project, our 5 children. So who could have guessed that having a TV show would be time-consuming? I guess there's no way to figure that out.
Yeah.
But because the two of them were in charge of the show, kids were left at home nude and dirty and with no food.
Is that in the article?
Bowls of water just laying around.
Like dogs.
Yes, exactly like that. So they're moving on to other projects, which is fine, right?
Yeah.
Right. And Kings of Leon may have a new album out before the end of the year. It's called Walls. Love those guys. We will be hearing the first single next month. This will be a follow-up to the Fallowell Brothers' 2012 effort, Mechanical Bull. So about time for some new Kings of Leon music. And we'll have that single for you, I'm sure, as soon as it's available. Walls.
Do you remember the morning, Ralph, that we had, one of the times we had Kings of Leon on over the years, that they had arrived the night before and slept in the parking lot?
Yep. Sure do. That's one way not to be late.
Yep.
Just get there and just crash and then boom.
Hey, just send somebody out and knock on the window 10 minutes before we're going on.
And we'll come out and do our thing. And they did. And they sounded great.
It's commitment.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rick Mother-Lovin' Springfield. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Why can't I find a woman like that, like Jesse's girl? Oh, Rick.
Real good.
So
Rick
good.
Is dreamy.
I've seen him in concert like 12 times. Is that weird?
No, that's perfectly reasonable.
My babysitter took me to my first one. Ralph?
He's 67 years old today. Jay Moore, our buddy.
Oh, hey, Jay.
Turns 46. He's not here, Bean. We're just saying...
he might be listening.
Birthday. He's not listening. Actor Ray Park. Remember Ray Park?
I was so excited for a half a second that it was going to be Ray Parker.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah, that it was Ray Park.
Darth Maul, mother effer.
Darth Maul.
He's not the Ghostbusters guy, though.
It's Toad. Wasn't he Toad?
Toad in X-Men, yeah.
Yeah, X-Men. Scott Kahn, 40 years old today.
Shaka Khan.
Scott Kahn.
Kahn!
Oh, this is going to be a long mother effing day, isn't it? Stroke singer Julian Casablancas is 38 years old today, as is former Laker Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
Tomorrow, by the way, is Kobe Bryant Day here in Los Angeles. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's 8/24. 8/24.
Oh, his two numbers.
His two jersey numbers, Allie. Yeah,
how about
for
that?
The win.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Kobe. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bean, first it was the mouse clicking. Click, clickety, click, click, click.
Yes.
Then it was you breathing into the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But now those goddamn birds. Where the hell are you broadcasting from? A goddamn birdcage? Shut those goddamn birds up.
A lot of people have a lot of complaints about a lot of things on this show.
Well, here's the thing. This guy, the phone caller, I resent him because he also forgot the dogs barking, which is a regular occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the typing, the loud typing is also a regular problem.
No one can hear it.
No one hears it. You guys are super sensitive to it. No one can hear anything.
The processing takes it out. You can't hear it.
Bean is unaware that radio is a medium which relies heavily on sound. And so he has a blatant disregard for all the noise going on at his end.
He claims it's because we have earphones in.
No, you guys have earphones on, headphones. That's why you hear everything. No listener can hear anything you're talking about.
All right. I will admit that occasionally we get a call.
Beast, shut the door or kill the birds. I don't want to listen to that in the background. I'd rather listen to you breathe, which is really, really annoying.
Yeah.
Or you can quit the mouse. But the birds? No.
Okay, sometimes listeners will call, but those are listeners who are just, they're cranking it, man. They're just casual person who's
just
listening in their car driving to work or listening on a radio in their house.
But
they don't hear
pull
any
over
of that.
To tweet, why is Bean breathing so loud? Those
right.
people? Yeah.
Look, what am I supposed to do about that? What
Here's the thing. Everyone else on this show is also breathing.
Yeah.
And yet, for some reason, none of us are breathing into the microphone like we're in a CPAP machine.
So, are you suggesting I have poor broadcasting technique?
I don't know what's going on with you, but you sound like freaking Darth Vader on the other end of the microphone. So, coming up next, we'll be talking to Phil Kogan. What do you have a trach? You got a hole there in your chest? You have one of these boing boings, and now you're annoying. What's going on?
I'd be delighted to hear from listeners who would like to defend me if you listen to the program and it does not bother you that I
How could not bother
I
someone?
I occasionally take air so that I can live, then please call to defend me at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know why it's such a big deal when I do it, though. I feel
because
like
you're the only one who does.
Right. You're the only one that does, first of all. And second of all, it's a repetitive sound that gets annoying. It's fingernails on the chalkboard.
Really?
Yes, really.
Is it one of those?
How are you so confused by this?
Because I don't hear it, and B, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, because anyone who talks, they're going to breathe also.
Right. It's How come no one else on this show does it? Why are we all able to breathe soundlessly?
Hmm.
Why can we just breathe off microphone or with our lungs and our mouths open and air is going in and out without the sound of a wind tunnel.
This is very disturbing, this conversation.
Is it?
Because you never heard it before?
Because it's an intervention.
We haven't mentioned it 100 times in the past, and listeners haven't called in and left messages and texts and emails and tweeting. This is all new information?
I'm sorry. Can you stop breathing so loud, honey? He's like, breathe quietly.
Okay, I'll do the best I can, but how does one change the way one breathes and talks at this stage of the game?
You need to see a specialist. They need to get some sort of drill bit and just open up some portal in your body.
Wow.
Yeah. He needs new portals.
Really? I've broken my nose a few times. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Have you seen my schnoz? No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be on YouTube then,
That's what
I guess.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know why you...
What's this new piece of tape you have for me, Ralph?
Well, one of our listeners, has compiled a greatest hits of Beans gasping for air while on the air. The broadcast quality version of Bean desperately gasping, trying desperately to get air into his lungs somehow over and over again into the microphone.
Now, this is our friend Kevin from the Kevin Bean Archive, who tells me that he collected this from 10 shows. 10 Kevin Bean shows.
10 Kevin Bean shows. He's compiled it all together into what I believe is over 2 minutes of broadcast stereo quality audio of you just breathing into the microphone.
Well, I don't know that we need to subject the
listeners. I think you need a little aversion therapy. You need to hear what the rest of us hear all the time and how grating it is.
All right, so this is what our show sounds like to you then, right, Ralph?
Yes. Right. I don't hear any words anymore. All I hear is this.
Okay. All right.
That's, oh my God.
Okay. I don't think I'm not sure we need any more.
Oh, it's like moist.
Oh, yeah.
Man, there's smacking going
there's
on.
There's some clicking too.
Yeah.
This isn't going to help me not sleeping.
Can we talk to David, please, in South Central? He wants to weigh in on this. 1-800-520-1067. David, they're killing me here. I'm getting beaten to shreds. What's going on?
Well, it's almost like I understand you gave away a kidney, but it almost seems like you give away a lung. Because you ask a question, and next thing you know, for example, so-and-so, I have a question, this and that, and then you go,
yes.
Are you
yes.
on an oxygen tank?
It's at the end. You're right, David. It's at the end of a long question. He always goes,
right. It's
yes.
like you're gasping for air.
Yes.
Like, you want a question? I mean, I'm sorry, an answer for the question, or you want air? What do you want?
Your only question for anyone should ever be, can I have some air? That should be your one question for any guest.
Can I borrow an oxygen tank?
Are you all right? You just did it right there.
Right. It's all the time.
Are you so inactive, Bean, that the least exertion causes you immediately to get winded? Is that what we've come down to? Your life of just sedentary chocolate milk drinking has resulted in just a constant necessity for deep breathing?
I'm okay. I need to be a brain in a jar. That's the only solution that's going to make all of us happy, because I won't have to cart this body around anymore, and you guys won't have to hear any breathing.
No, then there'll be bubbling in the background or some lab noise or something. I'm sure of it.
So, David, has it impacted your ability to enjoy the Kevin and Bean show, listening to me breathe? Has there ever been a time where you've turned it off because you thought, I don't want to hear that dude suck in air anymore?
No, I've never turned it off, but I already know that the minute you finish asking your question, you're going to gasp for air.
So all right, so you listen, but you hate it. That's the kind of commitment you have to the show. I appreciate that.
Of course. I've been listening to you guys for 22 years. I enjoy the show, but all I know is that the minute the question finishes, it's almost like I have to go outside my house to go breathe air for you.
All right, so you get sympathy gasps.
Empathy, sympathy, whatever it is. I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with beans?
Thank you, David. You are awesome.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. All right, so what's our conclusion here is I should do what?
You should stop breathing. Stop breathing, I think is what we're saying.
But realistically, realistically.
That's another thing.
Realistically, I think we're saying you should stop breathing.
So keep doing what I'm doing.
No, you're missing out. Give me a little more out of that audio chip.
All right. Coming to my defense is Tom. Tom is in orange. He's on line five. He's going to solve this one for us.
We need a funky beat to put underneath that, I think. We need a remix.
Tom, what's going on here, man? Help me out.
Help you out? How can I help you out when you're such a goddamn asshole? Have trouble breathing. Are you in a goddamn iron lung or something? What is wrong with this? You have a hole in your head and your throat.
And
you probably die and blow up your air would blow the dirt off your coffin. Everybody have a good day.
Okay.
You too, Tom.
Okay, we're done. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, and we thank you for that. Hey, Breakfast with Sting is happening 1 week from tomorrow, you guys.
Yeah, it is.
I know we throw the word legend around. I'm probably guilty of using it a little too frequently, but in Sting's case, man, has he earned it.
Accurate.
He'll be here at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock down the hall performing live for you, answering our and your questions. If you want to be part of it, we're looking for your phone calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Allie, what do we want from the kids this time around?
I feel like they need to sing their favorite Sting or Police song. Ooh. And sing it well or not so well. Just really wow us.
Wow,
with your talent.
So Listeneroki is what we're doing here this morning. Listeneroki, you sing your favorite Sting or Police song at 1-800-520-1067. One of you will win tickets to join us in person for the Breakfast with Sting next Wednesday morning here at K-Rock. And by the way, it'll be at 8 o'clock on next Wednesday's Kevin and Bean Show. If you're not there in person, you can watch it. We will be streaming it through KROQ.com. All right, time for a Trump date. Hit it, Steve.
Sit down.
I don't know exactly how many days, but I think it's about 80, maybe 85 days, something like that, to Election Day, and this will all be over. But let's check in with the candidate, the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States, our friend Donald J. Trump, back on the phone. Hey, Mr. Trump, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
How are you feeling? You've been out on the road now for like 14 months. Are you tired yet?
No, because I have the physical stamina to do the job. Some people running for president are dead. I, however, am in great physical health. Everybody tells me how great I am, how healthy I am. So many doctors have come up to me and said, I don't even know you, but I can tell from a distance that you are the most vital, healthy, virile man I've ever seen. Huh. And that's just what you need to be president, and that's what I have.
Now, Secretary Clinton, your opponent in the general election, she's not dead. She was actually on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show last night, and I don't know if
you saw
it. Right. But they sent her out there, and she opened a jar of pickles on TV to prove that she was healthy.
That was a robot. That was Robot Hillary.
Oh, really?
You don't know this, but they have made many robot copies of her.
Oh, I did.
Go out in the world and open pickle jars and open potato chip bags, all kinds of amazing tricks they can do with all of the money she took from foreign powers.
How will we know if it's the real Hillary?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The robots, no belly buttons.
Oh, okay. So check the belly button.
Oh, so that's
the belly button.
That's why she was wearing that coat that went all the way up to her chin, so that we couldn't see the robotics.
Wearing a full body
interesting
clothing. It's unbelievable because she has to cover up the fact that she has the telltale smooth robot belly.
Okay. All right. You actually have convinced me on that one. I kind of believe
you.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of other things. You gave a speech over the weekend, I want to say, in a city that had no black people. Here we go. It was in Michigan. You were speaking for a predominantly white audience in the suburb of Lansing, Michigan. And for some reason, you decided that was going to be the speech where you were going to stake your claim for African-American voters.
Yes.
You're doing very poorly with the black voter right now, Mr. Trump. You're aware of that, right?
Now, everyone keeps saying that. People keep saying, oh, you don't have any black voters. That is not true at all, okay? Ben Carson, first of all.
Well, you do have Mr. Carson, okay. Or Dr. Carson, yes.
That's one.
Okay. Well, he may be the only one because you are at 1% with the blacks. But here's what you're saying. In the speech, you said, first of all, African Americans, you should vote for me because it's gone so poorly for you under President Obama. What the hell do you have to lose?
That's right. What do they have to lose? Let's face it. Their lives are awful, okay? Everybody knows that. Their lives are awful, but I can make their lives better.
How?
By being great. By making America great again.
Right, but what will you do specifically for African-American voters? That's what I haven't heard from you. Like, how is it going to be so different under President Trump?
Life is going to be so great in America when I'm done with it, okay? Life's going to be so amazing that black people are going to have just a lot of fun.
Doesn't sound like a campaign promise. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Me? Who doesn't like fun?
Well,
okay, you say that after your first 4 years in office, you guarantee that you will have 95% of the African-American vote for your reelection. How can you guarantee such a thing?
That number's been reported in the media, the awful, miserable, awful media.
You said it!
And that number has been reported, and it's not quite right.
It's
I will
not.
Have 100% the blacks after my first 4 years. They're going to love me so much. It's going to be unbelievable. I will be black after the first 4 years.
I don't think that's
how
possible.
Wonderful it's going to be.
No.
All right. A couple more things.
I'm going to moonwalk during the State of the Union address.
I don't think you should do that.
Yeah, that's what all African Americans do. They just moonwalking all over the place.
Right?
No.
You said it.
Couple more things real fast, Mr. Trump, and then we'll let you go. You claimed at one point...
Where's my black guy over there? Hey, black guy.
Okay.
I bring a black guy with me now.
You claimed that you would never watch MSNBC's Morning Joe anymore because they've been so hard on you.
That show is unwatchable. He is awful.
Right.
Joe Scarborough is the worst.
You've said that, yes.
And Minka Kelly or whatever her name is.
Mike Krasinski.
Also awful.
Okay, but
well, you were very cozy with them about a year ago, it seems.
Yeah, you love them.
Because I thought they were black.
Wait, what?
I had no idea.
They were supporting you back then. Now they're not. And now all you... Look, you're a guy who wants to be the leader of the free world. Why are you spending your time on Twitter criticizing a show on a network no one's even watching?
Because it's important for people to know that the media is just... They're corrupt, okay? They'd say these things over and over again... And they're just corrupt, awful, evil people. And the people need to know that.
But you're getting in a Twitter fight with TV morning personalities.
That's because he's a poopy head.
Okay.
Okay.
Smells bad.
You said you're going to reveal or spill the beans on their relationship. What are you doing, Donald?
Here's the thing. They both eat boogers. That's an exclusive. That's for you.
Right.
I love your show. Your show is amazing. Best show I've ever heard.
For now.
Except for that breathing thing. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Has like a problem, some sort of lung problem.
Okay. We got to go.
You're sicker than Hillary, I think.
All right. Good luck to you, sir. Bye-bye.
Sit down.
One of the great perks of this job has to be able to be up close and personal with so many of the musicians that we admire over the years. I'm just thinking back right now, Ality, some of the breakfast with we've done on this show, everybody from Nine Inch Nails to No Doubt, Incubus, Coldplay, Black Keys, Mumford & Sons, Arcade Fire, Jack White. I mean, the who's who of K-Rock music has been through the halls here. And we got another one coming up next Wednesday, and that is going to be Breakfast with Sting. We are looking for you if you want to join us at 1-800-520-1067. This time around, it's called Listeneroki.
Listeneroki, Listeneroki, that's the game we're going to play. Listeneroki, Listeneroki.
All right, so we're going to pick our favorite, Allie. What's your advice to the contestants on hold as they prepare to sing their favorite Sting or Police song?
Don't worry about hitting the notes perfectly. Just feel it. Let us feel your passion.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. Why don't we start with Paul? He's in Sherman Oaks. He's up first. He's on line 3 to get us going here. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Doing good. How are you guys?
So Sting is your man?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Love it.
Yeah, that tantric stuff.
What are you going to be singing for us today, Paul?
I'm going to take a shot at We'll Be Together.
Ooh, that's a good song. All right, good luck.
I see me with you and all the things you do. Keep running, running, running my mind. Forget the weather, we should always be together.
any other thought is unkind.
Wow. Look at you go.
Feeling it.
Are you a ringer? Are you some sort of professional or something?
Nah, I just love singing and I can sing like him.
Okay. Well, that was very good. You hold on. You are in the running. Let's try Chad up next. San Clemente, line 4, please. Hey, Chad, welcome to the show.
Hello.
What are you going to be doing for us?
Every breath you take.
I'll look forward to it.
All right. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take. That's it?
It's not my fault. There's another call. Hold on, Chad. Thank you. Let's go to Sean. He's in Anaheim up next, line 5. Hey, Sean.
Hi, everybody.
You're going back a ways. What song are you doing?
Message in a Bottle.
Love it. Good luck.
Let's hear it.
Just a castaway, an island lost at sea. Another lonely day.
Bean, let the man sing.
Thank you, Sean. Hold
on. Come on.
How about, let's try Jennifer in Fullerton. She's on line 8. Let's see what Jennifer's got for us.
Good morning, guys.
What do you think of your competitions? What do you think of your competition so far?
First guy, competition. Second guy, country. Third guy, I don't even know what.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So those are big words. Let's see what you got for us.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne.
Okay. All right. Those days are over. That was my favorite part. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. Are you hold on? Let's try John in Newport Beach. Let's get the flip side.
Talking.
I'm bringing it. Ready?
Yep.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne.
Okay, all right. I didn't hate that.
I didn't either.
I didn't hate it.
Maybe the smack was okay.
All right. I guess it's okay to talk when you can back it up. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. You hold on. Let's try Jazz. Her name is Jazz.
I love it.
Atwater Village. Is that a nickname or is that really your name?
My name is really Jasmine, but I've been going by Jazz since I was like, I don't know, 1, which is how long I've been a Sting fan, actually.
You were a Sting fan at 1.
Actually, I say I'm a Sting fan since the womb because my mom and dad love the Police.
Okay.
They played it all the time. And I mean, my mom loves them to death. That's why I really want to get tickets for her because my dad passed away last year. And so it's just something I think that.
Now, how are we not going to be thinking about that when we listen to you sing?
Why? Everyone on hold just went, all right, I'm done.
I didn't know you were bringing out the dead dad. Come on. All right, Jess.
Hey, I love you guys. I love you guys so much, so I listen to you all the time. But
well, we appreciate that.
I've never actually gotten through ever once before. So
will you do us
20 years I've been listening.
Do us a huge Jess, listen to me.
Is magic.
Okay. All right. Okay. You can't hear me. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Do I have to tell the story of a thousand rainy days since we first met? It's a big enough umbrella, but it's always me that ends up getting wet. That's my favorite lyric. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jazz. You hang on. All right. Now what, Allie McKay?
Do we pick our favorite or do we just do a drawing?
I feel like Paul was the best singer, but we had a lot of passionate Sting fans.
Yes.
I wouldn't be mad at doing a drawing, to tell you the truth. What do you think about that?
Let's do a drawing.
It's too hard. It's too hard for us. All right, so John and Corey and Paul and Chad and Jazz and Jennifer all in the running. Only one will win tickets to join us next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock to see the great man himself, Sting, performing live. Who's our winner, please, Allie McKay?
The winner is Sean.
Yay! Hi, guys.
Sean.
Yes.
We'll see you next week, dude. Thanks for playing. Listen
to Roki. Thank you so much.
Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. You suck and we're lame.
Empire of the Sun. Back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour on K-Rock. They're going to be hand-delivering and will be world premiering their brand new single. Very excited about that. Like those guys very much. That's coming up. First, though, Rob is here with the show Biz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
Orange County, coming to you this Friday. Kevin Smith and I are taking Hollywood Babylon down south behind the Orange Curtain
No.
to the lovely Irvine Improv. Ah, love that club. It's beautiful. We're coming down to do Orange County this weekend, Friday night, 10 p.m. We're doing the Irvine Improv with Hollywood Babylon, me and Smith. So if you'd like to see the show, if maybe you wanted to catch a show but didn't feel like driving up to Hollywood, now we're coming to you. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Just
click, no.
Click on Irvine, and the rest is simple. We might be talking about Lindsay Vonn's buttholes.
Right? Excuse me?
Her buttholes.
Plural?
Yes.
Did you
see the picture?
Why would I ever see a picture of that?
Type up
I don't
Lindsay
need,
Vonn's.
Nope. It's going to be blocked.
Buttholes.
I don't believe I can access that.
And by buttholes, I mean, of course, the holes in the back of her pants over her butt.
Oh.
Yeah. She was showing off a photo of her working out the other day. Lindsay Vonn, for those you know, of course, a championship skier. She was working out doing squats. You know, like you do squats to build your thighs.
I've heard people do that.
Yeah. And she was doing them, and her training pants were just a lot of holes.
And someone was filming that?
Yeah. She took the picture, posted it herself.
Huh.
Because she thought it was hilarious that her precious dogs, Leo and Bear, had chewed through the backside of her pants.
That is funny.
Isn't it? Come on, that's funny.
So there are rooms that people
Ate her pants.
Right. There are rooms that people go to where they intentionally sweat.
Oh, you're confused by the gymnasium?
Yeah. Like,
context?
What's the point of that?
Yeah. I don't know. Teaches people how to breathe. Maybe it comes in handy for some of them. Allie, I know you love the sunscreen. You can't get enough of the sunscreen.
Well, I need it.
You're a slatherer.
I am. Thank
you. You're a sunscreen slatherer.
Yes.
You ever get tired of that smell, that sort of... that pina colada sort of
summer better
coconutty
than others, for
kind
sure.
of smell.
Yeah.
Well, fear not, because there's a new odor for you, a new smell for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
KFC has just announced their Colonel Sanders Extra Crispy Sunscreen.
Yeah!
I'm sorry?
It smells just like their signature fried chicken.
Allie? Yummy.
I'm going to put that on my body?
Yes. And then you can lay out, and everybody's like, what is that? Oh, it smells delicious. What is that? Oh, it's that girl over there. She's extra
like fried
crispy.
Chicken.
Yes.
Does it smell like the 11 herbs and spices?
It does. That's exactly what it smells like.
No.
You know what's even better?
It tastes like it?
No, it's absolutely free. I don't think they recommend that you eat the sunscreen.
No, I would.
If you go to extracrispysunscreen.com.
This isn't real.
You can get your free... your free bottle of extra crispy sunscreen.
What's the SPF?
It does not say here.
11?
Yes, it's 1. Your skin will fry as you lay in the sun. But I thought that was charming. Who wouldn't want to smell like delicious fried chicken?
Sure.
Me?
You could get guys to like you if you smelled like fried chicken.
I hate you.
Oh, you're mean. Congratulations to DMX. He welcomed a baby boy into the world last Friday with his longtime girlfriend, Desiree Lindstrom. The baby's name? Exodus. Exodus Simmons? DMX's real name is Earl Simmons. Exodus. Exodus Simmons is Desiree's first child. It's DMX's 15th child.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
You heard me.
No.
You heard me.
No.
It's his 15th child.
Wow.
Really?
DMX didn't happen to be present for the birth, but plans to hang out with the child soon.
Wow. I wonder if he could pick that woman out of a lineup. I really do.
It's his longtime girlfriend, Desiree Lindstrom.
Yeah, all 15 of those kids are not with women with whom he has a committed relationship, though.
You don't know.
Well,
you weren't there. It's very possible that he is a great partner and dad on every level.
Guys, just from a financial aspect, after the first, 5 kids, don't you go, maybe I don't want to get anyone else pregnant? Wouldn't you?
Is it your guess being that perhaps DMX isn't thinking about the long-range repercussions of his actions as he sleeps with these women who have his kids?
Exactly.
That's your take?
Is that
maybe he's not considering the long-term commitment aspect of having children?
I think there is evidence to support that, yes.
That's fascinating. That's an interesting take.
Hmm.
And sad news. First of all, how many famous harmonica players do you know? How many famous... legendary harmonica players are there? Not many.
Well, there's John Popper.
John Popper is the one that comes to everybody's mind from my Blues Traveler, right?
Right.
But for me, it's Toots Thielemans.
Oh, Toots Thielemans.
Yeah, Toots was amazing.
Toots is the best. Mm-hmm. Passed away yesterday at a hospital in Brussels. 94 years old. 94. What a career the guy had. Benny Goodman gave him his start in 1950s when he started playing with his orchestra. He worked with jazz legends Charlie Parker and Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, countless others. He does the amazing harmonica work on Billy Joel's single Leave a Tender Moment Alone. Just a legendary. When you wanted a classic, genius harmonica master, you called up Toots. He's passed away. It's funny, all the work that he's done. You know he's probably still best known for?
No, what?
This song.
Oh!
He's good.
The closing theme from Sesame Street. Sesame Street was brought to you today by the letter A.
He's good.
And the number 6. And Oscar the Grouch. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant, 38 years old today. Just a heads up, tomorrow is Kobe Bryant Day here in Los Angeles. That's 8/24. See, 8 was the number he wore for the first half of his career, and then 24. Mm-hmm. So 8 and 24 make 8/24 Kobe Bryant Day.
Okay.
All right. Are we supposed to do anything for Kobe Bryant?
Yeah. Yeah. Stay out of Golden, Colorado. That's what they recommend.
Wow.
Don't go there.
Wow.
Julian Casablancas is 38 wow. years old today from the Strokes. Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
He is, of course, from Hawaii 5-0, 40 years old today. Ray Park. Darth Maul himself is 42. Ray
so
Park
close.
Being.
No, so close.
Our good friend, our beloved buddy, Jay Moore, is 46 years old today. And Rick Springfield!
Love is alright. Love is alright.
Good stuff.
That's so sad.
Oh, come on.
We saw him most recently. Remember, he was acting. He was that crazy doctor with the weird face on True Detective.
Yes. And he just made that movie Meryl Streep. Flash and Flash Phillips and the Cha-Cha.
Yeah,
that was it.
Right? Wasn't good.
It was not good, but he was in it. And I saw him perform most recently. Allie's seen him in concert dozens of times, apparently. But I saw him with Dave Grohl and the Foos when they did their Sound City documentary, and then they had that big concert.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Rick recorded Working Class Dog, his big first smash hit album, at Sound City. And so Dave and the band brought Rick out, and they did a medley of his greatest hits with the Foo Fighters behind him. It was awesome. Yeah, it was a good time. Anyway, Rick is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good stuff coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 1 hour from right now, The Bachelor in Paradise Report. I saw about 30 seconds of that show last night, Allie.
Enough.
And it was, I mean, it was like an orgy. It was nothing.
What?
It was just people just macking full on. That's all that was going on. I was just like, this is on national television. It's just video of people just making out.
I mean, I'm
right?
In. Yeah, I'm in.
All right. So we'll find out from Ralph and Petra's details of last night's show, like who was hooking up and why. Also, the band Empire of the Sun is here. We'll be world premiering their brand new song coming up in minutes. But first, I don't think that pets need alcohol. Do you?
I don't think they need T-shirts. They don't need drinks. They don't. Come on. Remember when we had dogs and we would just pet them and love them and that was enough?
That was enough. Exactly. Now it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's a company out of Denver called Apollo Peak, and they have created dog wine. Now, I know that there are people, your little ears just perked up because you're like, wait a minute, dogs aren't supposed to have grapes and they certainly shouldn't have alcohol. They're dangerous for dogs. Yes, that's true. They make these wines with brewed peppermint or chamomile, and apparently they mellow out your pups. What are the varieties that they are offering there at Apollo Peak?
Zinfandel and Chardonnay.
Okay.
Stop it.
Right? Stop it.
Stop it.
They also introduced a wine for cats earlier this year that relies on catnip to produce a stimulating effect. I don't know why we need to drug our pets. I don't get it. So we asked producer Dave, hey, who can we talk to? And we do have apparently the owner of the Denver-based Apollo Peak, who is Brandon Zavala, who joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. Zavala, welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Brandon, you okay?
Not more than okay.
You sound, are you a little tipsy?
How dare you? First of all, hello?
Hi,
yes,
Brandon.
We're here. I thought you were in the middle of a sentence.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I thought you were in the middle of a sentence.
Okay. You're behind the company that makes dog wine?
I'm not behind the company. I'm currently inside the company.
Okay. So you represent the outfit that's making the dog and cat wine.
I make the wine.
Okay. We know you do.
Well, Brandon, the wine doesn't contain alcohol or grapes, so...
No.
What are you sipping on?
You can't give a knock and all to white to bugs.
No, you cannot.
You can't do that.
No,
you should.
First of all, they vomit a lot if you do that.
Yeah, you know what.
We tested it, and dogs would go.
Okay, well, don't ever give dogs alcohol ever.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, please don't.
Don't do it.
Okay, but why do dogs need to be relaxed? I mean,
because
what are the reasons?
So many of them have such high stress occupations.
No, they don't.
At the end of the workday, they have to be be upset.
Okay, that's not true. A dog's job is just to be a dog, just to be a happy dog.
Right, that's a lot of work.
It's not a lot of work
and
for a dog.
Let's say you have a dog.
Okay. I do have a dog.
There you are. Thank you. You just said it.
Right, okay.
If you say you have a dog.
I have a dog.
Then you know that sometimes when you're drinking alone at home, you don't want to drink by yourself.
You
want to drink with a friend.
Okay.
And so why shouldn't it be your friend that has the furry face? Dog.
Okay, your dog doesn't care if you're drinking alone, though.
Not true. My dog does care. He looks at me all judgy when I'm drinking. I'm like, don't be so uptight, man. Have a drink with me. But I couldn't give him the drinks that I was drinking.
Right.
So I had to give him a doggy wine.
Right, doggy wine.
So you created this company so you wouldn't be drinking alone.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
So now we have Zinfandel.
Right.
Zinfandel, right.
We got Chardonnay.
Yep.
We got Cabernet.
Nope.
We've got Pinot Noir.
What?
Okay, be careful with that one, Brandon.
No, they love it. Yeah, do you ever see what a dog licks all day?
Right.
It's one of their favorite flavors.
Okay.
And we also have... toilet water with some food coloring in it.
Okay, I can see how that would be attractive to dogs.
Like why do they drink from the toilet?
All right.
You
okay?
I'm not feel so good.
Oh, Brandon. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Oh, careful.
Don't.
Oh, I hope the dog doesn't drink from the toilet in a little bit.
Oh, come on, Brandon.
There's going to be a lot of wine in there.
Oh, please. Okay. World premiere, brand new music that is called High and Low from Empire of the Sun. We are thrilled to welcome the boys, Luke and Nick, back to the studios here at the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
So that was our first time playing that. I guess that was anybody's first time playing it on the radio. That was a world premiere. But what's it like for you, knowing all the work and time and effort you put into it, to actually hear the finished product playing on the air?
It feels pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, you build this ship and then you push it out to sea, and now it's out there sailing.
Sailing away.
Is that why you were waving during the song?
Yeah, we're saying goodbye to it. You know.
Yeah. It's not your little baby anymore. Now it belongs to the world. I was just thinking how tragic and awful it would be if you were listening as we were playing that and you were thinking, oh, I don't like this. This doesn't sound good. What were we thinking? We've made a huge mistake. But fortunately, that didn't happen, so everybody's cool. High and Low is the name of the song. We're going to be playing it again here in a moment. We have so much we want to catch up with you guys since the last time we were in, but let's start by talking about High and Low. Tell me where that one came from.
I mean, I guess it just shot out of our hearts like an arrow, and it traveled across many oceans, and it landed in the bullseye.
It started in Hawaii, right? Ocean of Hawaii.
Yeah.
We started recording a bit on Oahu. And,
It was about this girl I knew when I was a kid called Alice D, or Deacon, rather, who was a kind of a wild child, you know, and she did all kinds of crazy things, you know.
Go on.
Well, you know, there's a film, an Australian film called The Year My Voice Broke. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but...
Ali, you're our Australian film expert. Do you know that one?
I don't. Is it a lot like Chopper?
No, well, yeah, it is in the sense that it's an authentic Australian story. But there's a kind of wild girl in that who kind of lives a kind of mysterious life, I guess. And we wanted to write a song that captured the innocence and the kind of bravery of youth and being a teenager and having these kind of experiences where you throw caution to the wind and you try things for the first time.
Fun. Aww. Now, was Alice a real person that you knew, or you're just writing about this character?
Well, I think there's a bit of Alice in all of us, don't you think, Bane?
Well, I hope so. I like the idea of throwing caution to the wind and just going for it. I think the older you get, the harder it is to do that. But that is one of the beautiful things about being young, is you don't realize how many boneheaded things you're going to do because you don't know any better.
You know, it's so true. Yeah. I look back on my life and I think of all the times I was about to die and I didn't die. And I think, wow. Do you know what I mean?
That's very deep.
Yes, I like it.
Hey, speaking of Hawaii, I imagine that it's the one of the most beautiful places on Earth. But isn't it tough to be in Hawaii and concentrate on working? Aren't there like a million things you want to go out and do instead of being in an indoor studio all day?
We didn't work that much. We'd go there for like an hour. And the rest of the time we're like eating pasta or going to Nobu. Yeah, we were just living the life. Like,
that's not bad. Yeah. Did you at least do things like, okay, if I get in the studio for an hour, then I could go surf for two? Was there a reward system happening?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
I think that's when Nick and I and the gang work the best, when we're kind of eating beautiful food and surfing and
exploring nature.
Not a bad way to live.
And, you know, the best music comes when you're not thinking about making music, you know?
Did you feel any kind of additional pressure this time around because you have become so famous? I mean, now that you've, you know, sold millions of records and you're playing all the big festivals and everything like that, you can't go, you know, you're all over the world now. A lot more people are paying attention to a new Empire of the Sun record. Does that affect you at all when you're making it?
God. Probably not as much as when we did Ice on the Dune, you know, because that was after Walking on a Dream. Mm-hmm. But, I think Hawaii was a good kind of, you know, summer breeze for us, which relaxed us out a bit.
That's so great to hear that you had such a mellow experience making a record, because for a lot of artists, it just seems like it's a nightmare. It's like the worst part of their job is having to get all that done and get it just right.
The hardest part is the finishing, I think. What to leave on, what to take out, what do we put there, or, you know. But actually, the creation is really fun. And you can kind of be a child again, and you can just start dreaming and thinking about other things and, you know, flying with your mind or whatever. But
that's nice.
When you come to the end, it's like, oh, snap, we've got made all these children, but we can only choose like 8 or 10 or 12 of them.
How hard is that?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I think personally it becomes difficult because you hear a record a certain way and everyone else hears music in their own way. So when we start putting a list together, you know, it's that debate or the balance between art and commerce. What do you want to make? You want to make something that's just purely beautiful? You want to make something that's going to connect with people on a much larger scale? You know,
We only disagreed on about 8 of the 12 songs.
Yeah, exactly. It's very smooth, really.
Really.
The song is called High and Low. We just world premiered it for you here on the world famous K-Rock. Luke and Nick are here from the band Empire of the Sun. We have many more questions for you about this record, especially some of the crazy guest stars that you have. I can't imagine how some of these hookups happen, these musical hookups happen. Maybe there were other hookups too. I guess we'll find that out. But we'll ask you all about that and play the song again with Empire of the Sun when we return right after this on K-Rock. I like it, you guys. Good work.
Still sounds good.
Still sounds good.
Still like it.
Two spins in. We're still digging it. The brand new one from Empire of the Sun is called High and Low. The album is going to be coming out on October the 28th. That one's called Two Vines. And I mentioned before the break that when I started reading about the album, there were all these guest stars that were surprising to me, of people that came to work with you on this. How does that – tell me about that. How does that even work? Do you literally just – hey, who do we want to work with? Let's give them a call and see if they want to come to Hawaii and be on our record.
A bit of that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we started this band, like, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, we kind of dreamed big. We wanted to meet our stars and, you know, people that were our heroes growing up. And mm-hmm. we were lucky enough to meet Lindsey Buckingham.
Okay, and right there.
I mean
Lindsey Buckingham.
He's a genius.
Not a day goes by when we don't listen to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
How could it be a day without Fleetwood Mac?
I have said that for years.
Really? And by the way, and
kindred
I think
spirits.
We are.
And I think he is underrated as a producer, as a guitar player, and as a songwriter too. I think.
And I might add, as a man, as a beautiful man.
Really,
you know, inside and out. And his children are lovely. He brought his kids to the studio.
Oh.
His son, you know, he's a good kid, 16. He went to Coachella, you know, had maybe a little bit of a wild time, but
really?
he's a good kid. You know?
So when Lindsey Buckingham comes out, had you met him before he appeared to work on your record?
No.
So he just shows up, and then what's that like for you guys? And how do you – I mean, you have your own way of working. He has his own way of working. How do you even know if it's going to be a fit?
You know, it's a little bit like coming on the Kevin and Bean show with Ali. You're nervous. You can't find the words. You know, your mouth is kind of running over. Have I had too many coffees? And then he picks up a guitar and he plays something, and your heart and your soul and your mind connect in this way that is sort of visionary, I guess. And you just sit back and you listen.
How many songs is he on?
Well, I mean, there's only how many on the record? Two. There's another three or four that we're saving. We're holding back for the, you know, for the future, but.
So he played a lot with you guys then, if he's on that many songs. That's great.
He just played, and we just listened. It was incredible.
Tell me about Wendy Melvoin as well.
We were working in a studio called Henson, which is Charlie Chaplin's studio in Hollywood. And Wendy has a room there, and we were finishing a song called Ride. And we didn't know quite where to go with it. And we played it to her, and she just had this idea. She's like, I know how to finish this song. And we went upstairs to her room, and she got on the Wurlitzer, I think, and she started playing it, and it was just like, oh my God, you get it. You get us.
Wow.
Yeah, she was amazing.
For folks who don't recognize Wendy's name, she is a multi-instrumentalist who's most famous for being a member of the Revolution, played with Prince for all those years, and she is, again, just a genius player, so that's incredible. Who else is on the record?
Well, Tim LaFave.
I love Tim LaFave.
Who's, you know, one of the nicest bass players on the planet, probably. Probably one of the best, too.
Big Patriots fan.
Yeah. Henry Hay, who's a multi-instrumentalist from New York City. Who else is on? Donnie Sloan from Midnight to Monaco. You guys don't know who that is yet, but Midnight to Monaco, remember that name.
Okay. Jot it down.
Jot that one down. Who else is on the record, Luke?
About it.
Okay. That's a pretty good core. It's a pretty good core of musicians right there. You said that the you said in an interview while the record was still being made that a lot of it is very vintage sounding, taking cues from 10cc and ELO, that sort of 70s music. Is that how the album ended up sounding to you as representative of that time period?
Yeah, I mean, we like to go back to the past in order to take us further to the future. So what I mean by that is most of the gear that we use on a technical side is old. And while that can be a little bit more trying at times, it's not as easy as a point and click. You end up creating something that has a more authentic feel to it. And most of the music that we love is from the 70s, 60s, and early 80s.
What are your plans for the rest of the year? The record's coming out the end of October. Does that mean Empire of the Sun hits the road and you'll be away from home for a year? Is it one of those deals?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of excitement for those
well,
tour plans.
Yeah. We want to come back here every week and just do a chat with you and Ali. And okay. Maybe Kevin will be back. I don't
well,
know.
You never know.
The trifecta. That's a 50-50
yeah,
chance.
Really? I hope he's all right. How sick is he?
He's fine. He's not sick at all. He's just on vacation.
Oh, Kev, if you're listening, have a good one, man. Where is he?
Who knows where he is today?
Really,
I think he's doing some traveling, I think. Okay. But he's fine. He was here last week. It's not like he's been out for 6 months.
Oh, I don't know. You know,
he was just here. So,
long-time listener, second time being here. And
we'll send along your concern, though, Nick. It'll
thank you.
All right. What else do you want your Empire of the Sun fans to know before we have to say goodbye? Besides the fact that the single is out and available to buy today, the album October 28th, what else is going on in the wonderful world of Empire?
Well, a moment of silence.
Again, Kevin is alive. And he
oh, yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, there's a lot coming towards you guys from the Empire in the next 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks, months,
okay.
years.
Meaning?
We've been putting a lot of time and energy into this, creating a kaleidoscope of life and love, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Okay.
And we want you to stay tuned. We love you. We care about you. We think about you. You know,
right
when
now.
I close my eyes, I see you, every one of you, smiling back. Everyone.
Oh. Maybe not me, but other
Bean,
people.
Right. You're there.
I am here, yes.
You're at the front.
All right. Well, you guys are delightful as always. Congratulations on the new song. Thank you for bringing it in today and sharing it with us and our listeners. We appreciate that. High and low. We'll be playing it a lot. I was just telling you that Ali and I are going to be so sick of this song about 6 months from now. But for now, we're excited to play it again coming up here soon. So, boys, thanks for coming in. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Hey.
All right. Nice air drumming going on there, Ralph.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
I'm a bad mamma jamma.
You're just as fine as you could be.
I don't know where all that's coming from.
I'm bringing it back. That's where it's coming from.
Hey, The Bachelorette is not on anymore. The Bachelor is not on anymore. But there is a show called The Bachelor in Paradise, apparently, that is on right now.
It's the best.
4 hours a week, ladies and gentlemen. Good. ABC has given over to these people making out on TV.
Bean said it was like an orgy.
Yeah, Bean apparently has never been to an orgy.
No.
What it was like a junior high school basement party.
Oh.
But it had nothing to do with an orgy.
I saw lots of people laying on top of people kissing people. That's what I saw.
That's not an orgy. People kissing other people is not an orgy.
I was very uncomfortable.
You 1950s freak, you.
It was too sexy for me. I got to be honest. Anyway, we'll get a recap on last night's BIP from Ralph and Petros coming up right after the top of the hour. First, their time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I don't like people kissing. It's way too sexy.
Well, they're all
touching. You know, after kissing, there's even more things you can do, Bean.
No, that's as far as it goes, right?
What your wife tells you, but can you imagine being Mrs. Bean?
No.
Oh,
and she is such a lovely woman.
I know.
So beautiful.
Smart,
charming,
seemingly talented.
So
funny. A lot going on.
What's happening?
Something's bad.
Right?
It's blackmail or something involved.
Something's going on.
A delight, you guys.
He has her family locked up.
No.
I can hear you. You don't have to whisper. I can actually hear you.
I think it happened.
Time for the show to speed. Now here's Ralph.
Evanescence is hitting the road. Woo-hoo. Sting on? Are they still banned? Or is it just Amy Lee with, like, karaoke tracks?
I think they did break up for a while, and I'm not sure the makeup of this outfit that's going out is Evanescence now.
Well, apparently it's a greatest hits tour. So they have that one song, right?
Right.
Kicks off on October 28th in Dallas and then runs through December 23rd. On Long Island. Meanwhile, Amy says she's recorded a children's album with members of her family. It just keeps getting better, this story.
No.
Meanwhile, Black Keys singer Dan Auerbach, he's got some problems. This is a weird, twisty-turny story. But Dan appeared in a documentary about Chicago's blues legend Howlin' Wolf.
That makes sense.
It does. And then the producers asked Dan if he'd be interested in taking over the project as director. Dan agreed. If he could have complete creative control and 9% of any profits the film made.
So then Dan started to make some very expensive changes to the film, which was already in post-production. And then at some point, according to people close to the project, he got bored and walked away from the whole thing.
Uh-oh.
After racking up some pretty high bills. So now the producers of this film called Smokestack Lightning, the legendary Howlin' Wolf, are now suing Dan for damages for no less than $100,000. So it's getting ugly over there. But my fear is that we won't see this film anytime soon, because I'd like to see that. That sounds pretty cool. And Britney Spears seems nice, regardless of what you may think of her level of talent.
She seems like a very sweet girl.
She's doing a very nice thing, raising money for flood victims in Louisiana via the American Red Cross.
That's her home state.
It is. And from a fundraising website called CrowdRise, she is having a, I guess it's sort of a sweepstakes, a lottery slash auction. For $10, you can enter. And if you are the lucky winner, you can win the outfit she'll be wearing Sunday night at the MTV Video Music Awards. Or another possible grand prize is you can go to the big event in New York City and meet Britney in person.
Wow.
So very nice of her.
If you're interested, just for $10, goes towards a very worthy cause, helping those poor folks out in Louisiana who are suffering from that flood. You can go to crowdrise.com/Britney for Louisiana. No spaces. You can get all the details there. If you win her outfit, give it a good wash.
You think?
Yeah.
You're not going to make Britney soup?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
No.
I thought that, isn't that why you would want the outfit?
I'm getting a little sick. I have a little sick coming up. Got a little sick.
A little clumped in my connecticut fluid.
Hey, Friday at the Improv. The Improv.
Really?
The Improv, as I like to call the Irvine Improv. The Improv. Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon to Orange County. Would love to see you there. I just recently made a promise on Twitter that I will follow through on. If you come see us Friday night at the Irvine Improv, I will show you rare, lost, recently discovered footage of me on Match Game from 1991. That'll happen.
No!
That's going to go down.
Fun.
Wow.
It's going to happen. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Me playing Match Game with Brad Garrett and Charles Nelson Reilly and Sally Struthers.
No way.
Way. So come on out and see us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
Are you serious?
Time. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Come on, Rodney.
No way.
Why don't you come and join us, Rodney? Why don't you come with us? You want to come? Rodney? Rodney there?
Shoot.
Hey, Rodney.
Where'd he go?
Yeah, he only has 4,000 freaking Rodney clips. Can't bring himself to play one. Oh, my Lord. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant's 38 years old today. Julian Casablancas is 38. Scott Kahn turns 40. Ray Park! Now I see. I see why there had to be no Rodney clips, because he had to have that queued up for something that isn't really the thing.
It's the great Ray Park Jr.'s
Ray
birthday
Park.
Today.
Ray what? Park, who played Darth Maul and Toad,
is
42 years old today.
That's impressive.
Jay Moore, the comedian, is 46. And singer Rick Springfield turned 67.
We all need the human touch. I don't need the human touch. I need it. The human touch. We all need the human touch.
We all need it. I need it too. Human touch.
You know, no.
Oh, Rodney.
Rodney, I think of all people, you'd be digging Rick.
Giddy up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We would like you to join us 1 week from tomorrow in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. We have more tickets you can win for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
You can't buy these tickets. You can only win them from the world-famous K-Rock, so your chance is coming up first, though. It's Tuesday morning. That means it's time for the Bachelor in Paradise Report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, cause all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor.
I got the impression that you and P were at odds a little bit early going in this season, but it sounds like in recent weeks, Ralph, that you both agree the show has just caught fire.
Well, I think P may have not been there for the right reasons. However, I am here for all the right reasons, and I'm enjoying my journey.
Good morning,
yeah,
Petros.
Ralph wants to find love.
I do.
That's all it is. So how was last night, boys?
Pretty good.
Outstanding. This Ashley I. Ashley I is the habitual crier, the one who just cannot stop weeping ad nauseum over her love for Jared. And she came to Bachelor in Paradise, she claims, to get over Jared.
Huh.
Knowing that Jared was going to be there.
That's a damn lie, and you know it.
It seems like a bad plan, if that was her case. So last night she was, in fact, crying once again over Jared, saying she saw a glimmer of hope that perhaps maybe after 2 years he would finally realize that he really does love her and they would be together. And Jared finally, he's been trying to be a nice guy. He's trying to let her down gently over all this time. He just finally had to set the record straight in no uncertain terms.
Mike, I think we've had many conversations about this. And, like, I've been as blunt as I possibly can. I do care about you, but not romantically. I've made that very clear for a very long time.
Are you sure you don't want to be with me ever?
Really?
Are you sure?
Oh, have some pride.
Maybe. Oh, she has none.
No, she has
she
none.
She has the dignity of a dying French hooker. But she's a virgin.
What's the hooker dying from, P? Consumption?
Yeah, I would say tuberculosis.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
But honestly, she's a virgin. So it's like kind of weird. It's like, you know, does she even know that she likes this guy? You know,
yeah.
This guy's he's like Mr. Rogers. He says nothing. He does nothing. He speaks rarely. It's a very strange dynamic.
P, I think her virginity actually adds to the obsession and compulsion because her version of love is like a grade schooler. It's like that weird sort of, you know, having the poster up on your wall of you know, some
Kurt Cameron.
Yeah, some pop star or something and falling in love with that from afar. It's this imagined, fantasized version of love that she can't get past.
Yeah, I'm just glad, you know, she's not going to cut off his legs and arms like an old boxing Helena. Remember that?
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah, boxing Helena.
So
good reference.
The boys have the power last night. They were giving out the rose at first. Everybody was pretty much paired up. Except for Daniel. Daniel, our favorite, the Canadian bodybuilder model, Daniel, who was the best thing that's ever happened to the show.
He really took a turn with Daniel.
Oh, I love me some Daniel.
I took a turn to the side on Daniel.
He's
getting a little too confident in his soliloquies.
Oh, okay. Are you kidding me? I live for his soliloquies. Last night he was saying what it was like to have all the power, to be able to give a rose to a woman and decide who gets to stay and who gets to go. He was very excited to wield that power.
I'm like the king of the jungle, president of the states. I'm Gandhi. I'm going to sit on my throne and I'm going to let them come to me, bringing me grapes and fine cheeses and wines, artifacts, precious golds. So if you want this rose tonight, come to Papa Bear, see what you got.
Yeah.
No.
He's insufferable. Right?
Wow. He's the best.
He's
awful.
He went on a tirade last night telling Ashley the only way that she could get over this love she has for Jared is to slut it up, is to start sleeping with multiple men at the same time.
Yeah, and then he started, like, reading a page off of Pornhub, basically.
They had to cut out of the show and go to, like, a please stand by card while he was talking several times because he was getting so filthy.
Oh, with a maple leaf on it.
With a maple leaf on it, yeah. And then the twins. How great are the twins, Pete? Do you love the twins?
I kind of do. I don't understand the earrings.
The multiple earrings up and down the ear?
They have it's almost like an airline landing strip of diamonds,
yes.
You know, that have to be fake. They're both cocktail waitresses in Las Vegas. They're 23, and they at least they know they're stupid.
But the thing is, they have different numbers of piercings on the ear, and I think that's some sort of way to tag them so that we can tell them apart. I think that's why they did it that way.
It's the only way.
It really
is. It's kind of difficult.
Now, the girls are not hooked up with anyone at this point, and they're afraid that no one's going to give them a rose, and so that they may go home, and as you can understand, they're a little concerned.
Haley and I are terrified. We're going to go home tonight. Daniel's already debating between Ashley, I, and Sarah, so this is not looking too hot for us.
Seriously, it's really a shame.
Our feelings are exposed at this moment. We're vulnerable.
Haley, what does vulnerable even mean? Is my makeup smeared? No, you actually look perfect. Vulnerable. We're so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, B. They at least know they're dumb.
They understand their limitations.
Yes, they know what they have to offer. And
that's what Las Vegas is all about. Knowing really their limitations.
Yes.
Right.
They have just enough brains to be a bottle service girl in Vegas.
That's... They've seen enough wild-eyed people running for the ATM at 4 in the morning. They know.
Now, Ashley does get sent home. Ashley I gets sent home, and naturally she is crying, and she is put in one of those SUVs where they ship off the losers.
I don't even know if crying begins to cover what she does now.
That's true.
It's like a wail or a lament.
It is
or
like
a falling.
It's like a wounded animal in the woods or something trapped in one of those wolf traps or bear traps where they have to gnaw their own leg off in order to escape. It's that kind of pain.
No.
It comes from a deep, deep, dark place.
Unswaddled infants cry last to this woman.
She is in the car on the way home, and I've never seen anything like this happen before in the history of Bachelor. But she is driving, and she just pulls a complete about face.
I can't say goodbye forever. I can't do it.
I can't leave like this.
She makes them stop the car and she hoofs it back to Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-mm.
And then, P, she states her case in front of the remaining contestants and begs for a second chance to come back.
How did this happen? Where was the justice for Chad?
Right? Where's the rule book in this thing?
Yeah, when you get thrown out, you go home.
That's how it should be. How come Chris Harrison didn't even step in and have some sort of commissioner rule or something?
He was in a robe drinking mimosas at a four-star resort down the road.
And everybody says, yeah, okay, you can come back. You're not really gone. Come on,
I think
join us.
Donald Trump is right that the system is rigged.
It's rigged.
Oh.
It's totally rigged. And then it dawned on me last night at some point, P, that they are running out of suitable contestants for this show.
Oh, they're starting to bring in they're dragging the lake.
They're bringing in people that we don't even recognize anymore. We have no idea where these people were or what show they were on or why they're there, but just completely unrecognizable.
First night ejections, but they're pretty good-looking guys.
Yeah, there's Brett. Brett showed up with a lamp. He,
okay, huh?
Well, here's the thing. When he first came on, I think it was on Andy's season, when he was on The Bachelorette, he showed up out of the limo carrying a lamp because he said his mother always taught him not to show up to a lady empty-handed. So he took a lamp from the hotel room where he was staying and gave her the lamp. So he shows up in Bachelor in Paradise carrying a lamp.
Oh. That's his theme.
That's his thing. That's how he identifies himself. And then there's Carl, the multi-tattooed fireman, who no one knew who he was.
Or his name.
Or his name, including Emily, one of the twins who went on a date with Carl.
He's that forgettable.
They were on a booze cruise, and she was...
She rode him like a mechanical bull.
She was grinding up on the fireman, could not have been happier with his looks, and yet his name somehow escaped her.
It's so hot that he's a firefighter. So hot. And the fact that he is hot is just even hotter. It's a lot of hot. He's so cute, I totally forgot his name. What's his name?
You forgot your date's name.
Something Kirk? Scott. No. Something with a C? Carl. Carl!
Carl. It was, in fact, Carl.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And Brett, the lamp guy, Izzy, has her eyes on Brett, breaking up the long-standing, the most solid couple in Paradise, P.
Yeah, her loins caught fire when he walked in with the lamp.
He walked in, and she was like, this is my dream, man. This is everything I've ever wanted. And poor Vinny, who she's been with since the beginning, they've been so in love. They've been all over each other, making out, making plans for the future. Now Vinny's on the outs because she wants to get to know Brett and his lamp.
Ugh.
She wants to rub his lamp.
Right?
Sure.
Right?
I see what you did.
Few people know that she grew up next to a Lamps Plus.
That explains it.
So it's not her
there
fault. It's deep-seated, her right. affection for lamps and shades.
Same thing would have happened if you walked in with a ceiling fan.
Exactly, yes. So when we left off last night, Vinny and Izzy, we didn't know what their future was going to be. We will find out tonight as the journey continues with Bachelor in Paradise.
Excellent stuff. Petras is on the Petras and Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports, home of the number one Los Angeles Dodgers,
the
by
first,
the way.
First place.
That's the term I really would have been preferred to use.
Number one Dodgers.
All right, P, we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for being on the BIP Report.
Yeah, you guys are number one.
Topic on the table is you found out about something about someone you know well, a friend, a relative, a spouse.
Oh.
They had a deep, dark secret. You found out about it after the fact, and you were shocked. That's what we're looking at 1-800-520-1067. Allie, I know you have a story.
Yeah.
Kind of get us into this.
This is a story about a man named Martin Galvin. He was recently diagnosed with terminal bowel cancer.
Oh.
But that didn't stop him from taking care of his best friend. He was going to be the one that arranged the stag party. So he took all the money from, I think it was the groom and 16 of their friends. They arrive at the airport to fly to Prague. There are no reservations, no accommodations, no nothing. So he tries to blame it on the travel agent. They got the dates wrong, that type of thing. But that's when everything started unraveling. Martin Galvin, A, didn't book any flights.
Oh,
B,
no.
B, stole all the money from the 16 best men. And C, no cancer.
This is a guy you picked to be the best man at your wedding and to arrange your bachelor party.
Yeah.
And he ends up stealing all the money and not booking any of the parties.
Yeah, a little over 10 grand. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did he still get to be best man?
I don't believe so because he is in jail. He has been ordered to repay all the money as well.
So, I mean, can you just imagine
Oof.
What that is like for the groom?
Devastating. Completely devastating.
I mean, you would have to just question everything about your life. You would have to think, I cannot read a man.
Yeah, how did I miss this?
How did I miss that? That is crazy. So, 1-800-520-1067. Something in a person that you knew shocked you. You didn't expect it at all, but they had a deep, dark secret. Chip, you had one?
Yeah, there was a guy I went to high school with. He was about a year or two younger than me. Quiet guy. Didn't really cause problems with anybody. I've come to find out a couple years ago, he had murdered his girlfriend's mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. In a bad way?
In a bad way.
Real bad way.
Yeah. Surprising.
It's always the quiet one.
Yeah. Apparently, she had issues with her and her mom had, you know, issues. Mm-hmm. And she asked him to take care of her. And he did.
Took care of her.
How chivalrous.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's just so crazy when you think, I mean, look, all these people on the news that do horrible things have families and friends.
Yeah.
So it's happened to millions of people where somebody in their circle of knowledge has ended up doing something awful. I mean, I was friends with an ice cream man one time. You don't have to tell me. I know what it's like.
What happened with that?
I know what it's like to vouch for a guy and to call him your Lord and Savior.
Lord and Savior.
And the next thing you know, he's putting special sauce into the ice cream that he's giving to the kids, and he's in jail.
Oh, no.
So believe me, I have experienced
that
the
happened.
Pain. That definitely did happen. I have definitely experienced the pain. I know what that's like. But we are going to give you a chance to relive some of your worst memories. As you found out a terrible thing about a friend or family member, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Olivia? Get her. She'll get us going here on line one, please. She's in Corona. Olivia, so happy you're listening this morning. What happened?
Okay, so I was engaged to a guy for about 2 years, or I was with him for 2 years. We were engaged for 6 months. Mm-hmm. He broke his hand one night when we were fighting, went to an ER, and I had his phone in my hand. And something came over to me to look at his sent emails, and it turned out that he had been cheating on me with transgender off Craigslist for the 2 years that we'd been together when I'd be at work.
So that was a surprise.
That was a huge surprise, yes.
Wow. So when did you get married?
We didn't.
Okay, good. All right, good. Yeah.
So what are you, uptight? I have to ask you this, Olivia, because a lot of times people have a feeling in their gut and maybe they don't want to believe it. So you looked at his phone because you suspected he had been cheating on you, right?
There was something between us. Like, I felt like he was lying to me about something for a couple months. I'm like, you know, if there's something bugging me, there's something off, you know, what's going on? He would never tell me. That's where we started the fight. He punched the back of his car. was sitting with all this stuff in the yard. I was like, you know what? I never seen a sent emails. I wonder what's in them. And weirdest thing. Weirdest thing.
There you go. All wow. right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Daniela. She's in Southgate. She has one of my favorite kinds of reveals. You find out this about a person, and I am fascinated with how this works. Daniela, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning.
So what happened? Who are we talking about? A family member?
Yeah, we're talking about my uncle.
All right.
We found out a couple months ago that he had a secret family.
A wife and kids, everything?
Oh, I don't know, like, if a wife, but, like, kids for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and wait. So he was still married to your aunt, but you guys found out that he had another lady and children living someplace else.
In another state.
In another state?
Whoa.
Was he taking care of them, or is this something from his past?
No, he was taking care of them because one of the kids is actually the same age as my youngest cousin.
Oh, wow. Boy, family reunion's going to be awkward this year.
Oof.
Was he making up stories about why he had to travel out of town on the weekend and stuff to see them?
Yeah, he would make up stories about how he had to travel for work and blah, blah, blah. So, like, everyone always thought he was coming to California for work because they live in Chicago. But apparently we found out that he had family in California.
I've watched a lot of Lifetime movies. This happens so much.
It does happen a lot.
And it unravels. It does. You'll never get away with it, men. Don't think you will.
It took us 15 years to find out.
Well,
wow, Danielle. I don't know if you remember. This is too far back, maybe for you. But there was a newsman named Charles Kuralt who was a national figure. I mean, he was on the CBS network for decades. And it turned out, and it wasn't discovered, if I remember correctly, Allie, until after he died. Right? There was some sort of somebody was contesting the will, and it turned out that he had another family and kids for more than 20 years. If I recall correctly, like in Montana or something. Mm-hmm. He lived with his wife and family in New York. And, of course, he traveled. He had this show called On the Road or Around the Nation or something like that. So he would be traveling all the time, and half the time he would be spending it with his other family in Montana. Nobody knew about it till after he died.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But, yeah, that's what my aunt had to find out.
Good times. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. What surprising, disturbing fact did you find out about somebody in your circle of friends or family member? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Way down we go.
What a voice. Kaleo on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ, band out of Iceland. That's a great, great song. Dear Kevin and Bean, I wish to remain anonymous, but after I divorced my wife, I found out that she had been embezzling from our kids' elementary school to the tune of over $40,000.
What?
She was arrested and pled guilty to the felony in exchange for no jail time. Her parents had to mortgage their home to bail her out and repay the money.
Oh, my
See,
God.
That's the kind of a bad surprise from a person you think you know,
Wow.
So that's what we're talking about here at 1-800-520-1067. What did you find out about something that turned out to not be true or they were hiding from you? This is a bizarre group of calls here.
Yeah, they've been through some stuff.
It's dark. Let's try Tim in Woodland Hills to get us going this segment. He's on line 7. Hey, Tim, hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, man?
Hey, thanks a lot. I love your show.
Thank you.
All the time. Just imagine you're working for a company, about 40 people. Everybody's got their significant others, their families and whatnot. We, you know, we always get together, have a good time as a company. We find we get a call one day where the secretary at the front desk, her boyfriend is in jail. We're like, this guy's an affable guy. He's not a problem. You know, he's kind of a preppy guy. You know, white guy, whatever. And he apparently was thrown in jail.
White guy or whatever. What's wrong with you, Tim?
Come on, Tim.
Come on, he's a white guy. He can't have been a criminal.
You give him, you know, absolutely no reason at all that this guy would be a criminal. So
right, plus he was white.
Right.
Oh, stop. I'm sorry.
It sounds racist. It is racist.
Definitely not. Definitely
all right, so
not.
What did he end up doing?
So this guy is, it turns out to be a prolific bank robber in Southern California. He had held up over 30 banks.
Whoa.
Over the course of several years. And apparently what this guy would do is he would put small amounts of money that he would ask from the tellers, and he would get away with it. And so he was literally buying the secretary Christmas gifts and whatnot with the bank robber money. I mean, come on. So they finally caught him because they put a full-page ad in the L.A. Times. They could not catch this guy. They put a full-page ad in the L.A. Times, and his girlfriend ID'd him and said, I got to turn him in, and that's
how
he got caught.
Well, he got away with it because he was white. No one would ever suspect a white guy robbed a bank.
Who would?
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jason in Santa Ana, please. He's up next, line four. What did you find out about a person you thought you knew, Jason?
All right, so I had a group of high school buddies that I used to hang out with pretty religiously. I'm sure like everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one guy that my buddy brought into the group who we were seeing. You know, he was Asian or whatever.
Oh, he was Asian.
Wow.
Okay, now
what
we're on it.
What's happening with these callers?
So,
all right, so what did he do? Was he super good at math?
You know, all the signs were there. He was Asian.
What are you talking about, Jason?
I'm getting to the point. I apologize.
All right.
So basically, we started hanging out with this guy just like one of the friends for like 2 years.
Right. You treated him like a human. I got it.
Right. To the point where I was like driving him around to and from places by myself. And all of a sudden, one day, none of us could get a hold of him. He was gone. And we never heard from him again, kind of a thing. And a month later, we were all like, dude, it's just almost disconcerting, right? So we Google his name, which is weird. You know, we just figured, why not Google him? Maybe he died. And there's an article in the OC Journal about him. He had strangled, choked his girlfriend, and shoved her in a closet.
Oh.
And then slept in that bed until her roommate got home and discovered them, and now I think he's in jail.
You think?
I think he should
think?
Be.
So that's a bad surprise from a guy that you used to hang out with quite a bit.
Well, I was in the car with him, like, by myself sometimes. Like, all that time, you never know when he could have snapped. What if it had been on me?
Hey, I'm just glad you're not a hooker, man. Apparently that's what saved you.
Yeah, God saved me.
All right. Thank you for the call. What, was it not a hooker?
It was not a hooker.
I'm sorry, I heard hooker. Oh, I heard hooker. I'm sorry.
What's happening with these calls?
I don't know. Should we take one more or
one
should we
more,
cut our losses?
And please mention the race of whoever it is.
Because that's important.
For the love.
All right. Why don't we try? Who do you like, Allie? I'm torn between Paul and Kayla. We only have time for one. What do you think?
Let's go with Paul because.
Let's go with Paul. He's in Venice. He's up next. He'll get us out on a happier note than murder. All right, Paul, what happened? You found out what about whom?
My older brother, my dad passed away, and then my mom passed away, and my granddad had all these gold coins that he kept when Roosevelt wanted him to turn them all in, you know? Yeah, all these gold.
Sure, you know.
Norm MacDonald? 5 or 6
ounces of gold, right?
Hold on a second.
Like 30
Hold on a sec. Stop, Paul.
So my brother goes.
Slow your roll here. Wait. We're all still trying to get caught up. So wait. So okay. President Roosevelt wanted us to turn in our gold?
It was his grandpa.
He recalled all the gold.
Okay.
The gold and the silver system or something.
All right. Okay. So your grandpa had this gold.
All their gold coins in.
Okay.
So
all right.
Granddad says, screw that. And he kept a bunch of them, right?
Okay. Good for him.
Legals and everything.
Right.
$20 and all these gold pieces, right?
Understood.
Like
right.
4 or 5 ounces of gold, right?
Okay. And then what happened?
Like $1,200. And then we were splitting it up. We opened the safe with my dad. And after they passed away, my parents and my brother goes, oh, I'll take the gold and go have it appraised and sell it. And we'll have a party and split the money up because I got four other brothers and sisters.
All right. Fair enough.
And a year goes by and gold goes up. My brother goes, yeah, I got it all taken care of. So we throw this big party at my other brother's house. And finally, my older brother shows up in his antique car and stuff. And he brings a box of peaches. And we go, what's this? A box of peaches. That's like $200,000 worth of gold. He goes, what happened to the gold? You buy a peach orchard? He would never tell us, you know? We all got beat out of like $50,000 each.
Wait, so he embezzled basically all the money from his brothers? He just took the money and ran?
Yeah, he didn't run. He showed up to the party with a box of peaches, a big lug of peaches. You know.
So what
box.
Are you? So what are you doing? Can't you sue him?
Wait,
for your
how
part
many?
Of,
how many peaches?
We don't
that
need
box,
to get. We
think?
Don't need to get that distraction.
Like a 50-pound box of peaches.
Right, that's a lot of peaches, Paul.
Can't you sue him for embezzling your inheritance?
He's on the lamb. He's on the lamb. I can't even talk to him. He's on the lamb.
Oh, I hate
well,
white people.
Check some orchards. He loves peaches.
He also did other things.
Okay. Well, we can't talk to you anymore because we're out of time. But thank you for the call, Paul. Thanks for listening. Ralph, I don't know if you heard that last segment.
Oh, who could turn away?
Something's going on with the
peaches.
I don't know if there's a methane gas leak or something, but something's going on with our listeners today.
It's all about the peaches.
It was insane. All right, let's cleanse the palate with something else completely different at 8:54. Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
I just want to remind folks, this Friday night, we are going down to Orange County. Me and Kevin Smith, we're going to take Hollywood Babylon to Irvine, California. No. Doing the improv down there on Friday night. It's going to be a pretty good time. So I think those who say no would be ill-advised.
No, you're wrong.
Anyway, you can go to improv.com, click on Irvine, and get your tickets there. We're going to have a pretty good time. Love to have you join us. I feel bad for Mike Tirico, right?
He got horked. The football announcer?
Yeah. He was the voice of Monday Night Football for a decade over on ESPN. And then when he decided to leave that gig and join NBC, he was probably very excited because NBC is picking up all those Thursday night games along with the NFL Network and CBS. So, you know, a lot of work there for a football fan like Tirico. They figured, you know, Al Michaels, great, but 71, maybe, you know, he didn't want to call Thursday night games, make a little room in the schedule for the new guy. Everybody was very excited about the possibilities, NBC included. That's until the NFL stepped in and said, no, we don't think that'll be happening. No, thank you. No, thank you. You pitched us Michaels when you talked about the gig, and so that's the guy we want. So it looks like it'll be Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth calling the Thursday night games, and Tirico's on the outs, just kind of sitting there.
But he's allowed to watch, right?
He can watch, sure. Yeah, okay. He can watch. So he'll be enjoying the games along with the rest of us. Apparently the NFL said, we like the idea of having the same booth announcers from Sunday night and Sunday afternoon to carry over to Thursday. We're hoping for that same magic Sunday night football has with Al and Chris to carry over to Thursday night. So, you do that, NBC.
All right.
Thanks so much. We're the NFL. Lick it.
Ugh.
So, Tirico.
That's how they should end all of their decisions, by
they
the
should.
Way. We're the
lick
NFL. Lick it. Right.
Al hates the NFL.
I hate the NFL so much.
Well, they're easy to hate.
Tom Brady can't.
It's not just Tom Brady. It's the way they handle domestic abuse. It's the way they handle everything. They keep screwing up.
Yeah, and look at the product. No one's watching, and they're losing money. And
well, that's the problem.
Oh, wait
a
minute.
As long as people keep watching, they're not going to care how many women are dragged downstairs and... Gotta be video, or he's only gonna get one game. I'm Goodell. Screw you.
Can I hear your Roger Goodell again?
No.
Okay. Speaking of losing jobs, Thomas Gibson. Lost his sweet gig over there on Criminal Minds, and now his wife is history too. Yeah. Apparently, he filed for divorce from his longtime bride back in 2014, claiming the marriage was insupportable. Because of discord or conflict of personalities was the legal jargon they used in the paperwork.
What happened to irreconcilable differences? Is that so last year?
Very different. Very different.
Oh, all right.
Discord and insupportable.
Okay.
Very different than irreconcilable and different.
All right.
She apparently then filed a general denial in response, yo. I don't know what that means. Sounds very legal to me. But he submitted a counter petition last December. And then there's something happening in November. Anyway, things are not good there in the Gibson household. So, bad times for Thomas Gibson.
Sure.
Good times, however, for some ladies in show business. Forbes, once again, has released their top 10 highest paid actress list. These are your highest paid actresses for 2016. This is just over the span of one calendar year, by the way. Keep that in mind. This is not net worth. This is not a lifetime of earnings. This is highest paid actresses for the year. She did not make the list.
Hi, it's Kat.
Kat, honestly, just outside the top 10.
Aww.
I know she's making.
Diane Carroll.
Diane Carroll really fell off the list this year. Usually Sarah she's Abramson. Right up there. No, she also didn't make the list.
Count Smoky Law.
Count Smoky Law is
a
dude.
Man.
First of all, Rodney, come on, play the game.
Come on.
Very confused.
Peggy Noonan.
Peggy Noonan. Just make the list. Remember that guy? That guy used to be on the show. The dumb guy. He was fun.
How did he come up with Peggy Noonan?
Ever.
Because he was not talking about anyone in journalism, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he thought that was the name of some athlete or something. I guarantee.
Miley Cyrus?
No, Miley Cyrus not on the list. These are your top 10 highest paid actresses. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Deepika Padukone.
Oh, he or she is sure. Great.
Well, it's Deepika actresses.
Padukone.
Bollywood star, I assume?
I'm assuming, yes. Right. $10 million is what she made over the past,
wow,
past year.
Nice.
Mila Kunis.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
At number 9.
Happy for her.
Julia Roberts came in at number 8 with $12 million over the past year. Huh. Amy Adams, $13.5 million. Number 6, Charlize Theron.
These are all very good actresses.
They are all very good.
Wonder why they got paid that much.
Because they're good actresses.
Oh.
$16.5 million for Charlize over the past year.
Nice.
Number 5, Fan Bingbing.
Sorry? One more time.
All right.
One more time.
Fan Bing Bing.
Fan Bing Bing.
Sounds like something you'd name a tapir. Oh, look at her. Wow.
Fan Bing Bing.
Holy moly.
Sounds like the old Carson routine. Karnak the Magnificent.
Yes!
Fan. I will ascertain the answer without reading the question. Fan Bing Bing. Let me open this up here. What happens when you throw BBs into a fan? Fan Bing Bing.
Ralph, Miss Bing Bing is a Chinese actress, television mm-hmm. producer, pop singer, topped the Forbes China Celebrity 100 list in 2013, 2014, and 2015.
She dates Lee Chen.
I've never heard of Fan Bing Bing, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Jennifer Aniston. Inexplicable to me.
Wow.
She made $21 million over the past year.
Really?
What? How?
I think hair stuff, like Pantene.
Oh,
or something.
She's got hair stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. Hair stuff and water stuff, right?
Water,
doesn't she sell water?
Sure.
Boy,
good
she's a conundrum wrapped in a riddle, surrounded by an enigma for me.
Do you not think she is a good actress?
I don't, and I don't understand the endless fascination people have and her superstardom and what? Why? Maybe the last smash hit she's been involved with.
We're the Millers, maybe.
Cake.
That was a smash hit?
No.
We're the Millers was a smash
no.
hit?
We're
Cake
the Millers
was a smash
was a,
hit?
We're the no. Millers was a big hit.
Oh, you're high.
Cranky.
I am cranky, yes. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I really liked the breakup.
She was great in the breakup. Look,
what was that, 2000?
I think it was like 2005.
Yeah. Seriously, how
Marley
did she maintain?
And me. Marley and me.
How about Horrible Bosses?
Horrible Bosses.
She had a supporting role in that, yes. And that was a successful film.
Friends.
That's what I'm saying. She's still surfing the Friends wave?
Pretty little face.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
I looked it up for you. Domestic gross of We're the Millers.
Yes.
$150 million.
Wow.
That surprises me.
And then another $120 foreign. So, big hit.
Scarlett Johansson, as you can imagine.
I mean, Bruce Almighty,
three.
Though? That was...
I will take you down.
Okay.
$25 million at number 3 for Scarlett Johansson. Well-deserved, of course, with all those smash-hit Marvel movies. It makes sense to you, right? Then things start to fall into place. This
Along
all seems,
came Polly.
This all seems...
Very funny.
All right, we've moved on past Jennifer Aniston. We're not doing her anymore.
This all seems appropriate to me. Melissa McCarthy.
Okay. There
number
you go.
2 oh, with $33 yay. Million. Dollars. And number 1, any guesses number 1?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah! Team.
Very loud children. $46 million over the past year is what she made.
Wow.
I like those kids further away. I like them better.
You do quiet down
I like them better outside
him.
In the yard where they should be playing.
Oh,
$46 million.
I'm nervous. They're really,
for J-Law.
Really out there.
By the way, just to give you some perspective, none of these actresses came close to the biggest earning female celebrity of the year, according to Forbes, who was evil, racist, and farter Taylor Swift.
How much?
$170 million. Right. I am well over my time. I apologize. Quickly, birthdays today. Rick Springfield, Jay Moore, Ray Park, of course, Darth Maul from the Star Wars universe, Scott Kahn, Julian Casablancas from Strokes, and Kobe Bryant. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Let me shoot across the sky.
Nope.
No,
nope.
Not even a little
nope.
bit.
Nope. Don't you dare sing over Beyonce, ever.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey,
I didn't know you're part of the Beehive.
Speaking of, I call it the Beehive, too. Speaking of James Corden, I did not watch him on stage with Coldplay the other night for his birthday. Did you guys see it? And if so, how was it?
I did. It was lovely.
He's a good singer, right?
He is a good singer. And I can't even imagine. When he agreed to do it, I guess he said he had no idea how big the Rose Bowl was. So it was quite a shock when he got up on a little part of the stage with the guys to sing.
All right.
So there you go.
There you have that.
Just thinking about a guy not expecting the Rose Bowl to be a large audience.
He's from another place, Bean.
Right.
He doesn't know of your little venues.
Okay.
Rose Bowl sounds like a small bowl that
right?
holds roses.
I just feel like he's lived in L.A. for, I don't know, a couple of years at least. But all right. Still a fun way to celebrate your birthday, I guess. 9:43.
You have problems with people, don't you?
I'm just surprised, that's all. Look, I love James Corden, too. Time for last look at the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Speaking of people we love, this is sad news. One of my favorite character actors, Stephen Hill, has passed away. Starred for years as District Attorney Adam Schiff on Law & Order. If you were a Law & Order fan from the years of 1990 through 2000, you know his gruff, curmudgeonly guidance on that show was key.
What's his name?
Stephen Hill.
Stephen Hill, all right.
He played District Attorney Adam Schiff on Law & Order. He was, oh, so great, so understated. It's always great. Sam Waterston would come into his office and go, I think you should just take the deal. And that was it. It was awesome.
Every episode.
Every episode, yeah. Why don't you just take the deal and let it go at that?
Nailed it.
Great.
Oh.
He was one of these guys who just worked forever. Started his career on stage in New York in the 50s and the 60s. He was doing television, and then the 70s and 80s started doing feature films and just worked all the time because he was a brilliantly talented actor. One of those character actors who just, when you saw him on a project, you knew it was going to be good because he was always delivering. So Adam Schiff passed away. Sad news. Just take the deal. Said that a lot. Miranda Lambert. You don't know Miranda Lambert.
What,
sure.
Kevin?
Miranda Lambert.
Blake Shelton's ex-wife.
That's
very popular,
right.
Successful country singer.
Well, she's no longer single. She's now engaged.
Oh.
Yep.
Huh.
She was on stage in New Jersey last Saturday night when a 6-year-old boy named Sebastian came up on stage and proposed to her.
Oh.
And Miranda Lambert said yes.
Good for them.
This sounds like a country song in the making, doesn't it?
It does.
My fiance is a 6-year-old.
Nope. That's,
he's got a tiny wiener.
Ralph!
Well,
take
six,
it back!
6-year-old!
Why would you ever say that?
I'm sorry, did I offend the 6-year-old?
Ew.
Well, you can't make fun of his thing because he just hasn't gone through puberty yet.
Or has he?
What's going on?
Miranda Lambert accepted his proposal but did have one condition. He had to wait 25 years before they got married.
Oh,
and
okay.
He will not be interested in her old ass then.
Wow.
I'll tell you that much. So, Sebastian, move on, man. So, there's other fish in the sea.
Is that a Sebastian joke?
No.
Little Mermaid
didn't
joke?
Didn't even dawn on me. That's awful.
Oh.
Why would I do that?
It totally was.
These other girls in the sandbox. Sebby, go for it, man. Get you some.
Says who?
Aaron Paul's coming back to TV. That's good news.
Yes.
Breaking Bad star, of course. Is going to be in an NBC thriller called Blackmail. Story is a young married couple suffers a life-changing accident and then decides to get back at the guy who caused that accident. I'm guessing with something called blackmail.
I just feel like this is more Hollywood whitewashing. Couldn't they hire a black male to star in that? Yeah. They're giving the role to Aaron Paul when it should be going to a person of color.
It sounds racist.
Like, right? That's what I'm saying. It's insulting. To African-American actors, there are a lot of them who could play a black male.
Oh, Keyboard Cat stopped by to play Beano.
Oh, it's been a while.
Hey, Keyboard, how you doing? Good to see you, buddy. Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for coming out of retirement for that. It was well-deserved. Rupert Grint is also coming to television. You remember him as Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter franchise.
Sure.
He's going to produce and star in a TV series called Snatch.
Oh.
Based on the 2000 Guy Ritchie movie of the same name. I loved that film.
I did too, but I feel like there are a lot of women who could play that role, and here they are giving it to Rupert Grint. Man get everything these days? How about spread it around, Hollywood?
And there's a new Jumanji film in the works. Jumanji, you may remember, with Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Hunt, 1995 film. Loved that film.
I did too. It was really good.
It's getting a sequel. Dwayne The Rock Johnson used an Instagram post this week to say it's not a reboot of the film. It's going to be a sequel. In 2 weeks, I'll reunite with old friends Kevin Hart and Jack Black. He said, we have the honor to introduce a whole new generation to the amazing world of Jumanji. For the record, we are not making a reboot, but rather a continuation of the awesome Jumanji story.
All right.
That's good news.
I feel like they could have picked somebody from The Chosen People.
Oh.
It's just sticking with beans.
Why would you stick with Bean's Thing?
Hey, even I had abandoned it.
Why don't you not touch Bean's Thing? Just leave it be.
You're right.
Thank you. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant's 38 years old today. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow, 8/24, is Kobe Bryant Day here in Los Angeles. 8/24, of course, being the two jersey numbers he wore throughout his career. So celebrate tomorrow by buying your wife a big diamond ring. Mm-hmm. After something happened, but nobody knows what. Just take the deal. Julian Casablancas is 38 years old today. Scott Kahn. From Y5O is 40 years old. Has today's show been like 9 hours long?
Same.
The longest
really
show we've
is.
Ever done. Yeah. Seems like it's just...
feels that way.
Ray Park. No. God damn it. Ray Park, talented stuntman and martial artist and actor who played Darth Maul and Toad.
And wrote the Ghostbusters theme, among other hits.
No, that was Ray Parker Jr. This is Ray Park.
Oh, I misunderstood.
You're a bad man.
Yeah.
You're a very bad man.
That kid is right.
Honest mistake.
Jay Moore, a good friend, is 46 years old today. And we've been celebrating all morning the birth of the legendary Rick Springfield. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. If I could find a woman like that, like Jesse's girl. He is 67 years old today. Australian treasure, Rick Springfield. Kind of lost his accent over the years,
yeah.
Hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is one of Allie's favorites. How many times have you seen him in concert, Allie?
About 12.
12 times.
My babysitter would take me to a bunch of them.
Well, I don't want to hear about your dating history.
Allie, did you fall in love with him on General Hospital?
No, my babysitter did. That's how it all started.
Gotcha. And then it was his records. And then you were
Dr. Noah Drake.
Yeah.
That's right, he was.
He was.
Yeah.
Oh, Noah Drake. He was dreamy. Just take the deal. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch Showbiz Pete.
I hope you'll be touring with your one-man Law & Order show, because I would very much like to see that.
Adam Schiff in concert?
Hey, on your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on KROQ. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow on the program, we have more tickets for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Which, by the way, will just be 1 week out tomorrow. Yeah. He'll be joining us at the Red Bull Soundspace on KROQ, world premiering his brand new song. He's got a new rock album coming out later this year. It's going to be great to welcome the legend, Sting, back to KROQ. We had him on the show years ago. Ralph, you were with us the last time Sting came on, right?
I do not recall, sir.
He performed live in the other room, and he was just so much fun. What a smart guy.
That sounds awesome.
It is. Also, Bachelor in Paradise Report Part 2 is going to be tomorrow because there's a new episode tonight. So Ralph and Petrel should join us at 8 o'clock. And it's been a while since we've been yelled at. So Gordon Ramsay is going to be joining us talking about Master Chef. That'll be at
you
7.
You stupid donkey!
Exactly.
The worst risotto I've ever tasted.
That's all tomorrow right here on the world-famous K-Rock.